Coming out, we had a good day. Got some work done. We had to shift it up a little bit because the town didn't come through, but we had quite a bit. The little bit gets you primed. And you start looking around, we can get more done. And we got more to do, so thank you for coming. Thank you for making this place your place and sharing in it. John chapter 12, verse 12. The next day, the great crowd had come for the feast, heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found the young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Father, we call this day triumphal entry because triumph is victory. Jesus entered that day as victor, and he left before week's end as the crucified. But Father, you didn't leave him there. This is the day of triumph. Help your people to live in that and to see what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. So over the last few weeks, we've been looking at the Lenten season, and we've been looking at things that have been in my mind, troubled me, stumped me, I was curious about for many years. Because, you know, you read the one-year Bible, and I hope we all have done that at some point in time, read through the Bible. There are things that we don't understand. And, you know, when you read it the first time, boy, you don't understand anything. And then the second time you realize you understand about just as much, nothing. But eventually over time you begin to put the pieces together, and those things that were curious, you begin to look at specifically and say, I wonder what that was about. And most of this season has been about things that I was curious about. One of the things that we looked at today, we're certainly going to be in the triumphal entry today, Palm Sunday, but we're going to have to look at the book of Exodus to understand this one point. And the thing about these points, I realize for some, these points don't change anything. We're saved people. But we're just learning more about our faith and about the word that God had given us. And so these are not necessarily all dramatic changes in our understanding, just insights. Like last week we talked about the crown of thorns, and we know that the soldiers did this. But there was a reason that they did it. And they didn't do it just because thorns were the only thing that they had available. They did it because Jesus was connected with us, the people of the curse. He was the crowned, the king of the cursed people, you and I. And if he had never been crowned king of the cursed people, he couldn't bear our sins and bring us salvation and forgiveness. And so that little idea of the crown of thorns, you might ask yourself, well, before that, why? Well, that's the answer. And today, again, we're going to look at the lamb. We're going to look at the lamb who entered Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. We call it the triumphal entry. We know that the triumphal entry fulfills Scripture. That Zechariah 9:9 says, "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. And of course, and Jesus entering Jerusalem that day on the donkey fulfilled that scripture. But what we might not realize, and what's critically important to connecting the Old Testament to the New, and Jesus fulfilling every last thing, even the minor that was written in the law, is that Jesus on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry, entered Jerusalem 4 days before he was crucified. 4 days. And we know that he went in 4 days from the height to the depths. Back again, ultimately, within a week. But he went from the heights of being declared king to the depths of being crucified. Is there any significance to the 4 days? Well, there is. But first, I glimpsed through the Gospels. I went through the Gospel accounts, going from the account of the triumphal entry to his sacrifice. And what I found was that all four of the Gospels have a cluster of very significant teachings and events happening in those 4 days. Now, you would think that if you were going to be declared king and you had a 3.5-year ministry, you might spend a couple of days or a couple of weeks gathering your disciples and training them and getting them ready, and then, hey, baby, we're headed to Jerusalem. We're going to get ourselves declared as king, and we're going to spend the rest of our time as king representing to the people who we are. And so I probably would have put the triumphal entry, if I was writing this, I would have done that way at the beginning, not 4 days before the end. And why, I wonder, if you look at the cluster of teachings and events that Jesus did, like Matthew 24 and 25, come after the triumphal entry, and they are the most significant prophecies of Jesus about the end time events. Why would you do that in the last 4 days? Why wouldn't you do it like over the course of the 3 years so that you could really get in deep study about this with your people? And why this revealing? See, I see the entry, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem as his revealing to the people. There were certainly those in the towns that he had visited who knew him, who had met him, that he had healed, that he had touched. But why, you know, when you look at all the other times he went to Jerusalem, like, he went in quietly and came out quietly. This time, the revealing of him. Why? 4 days. 4 days before he was crucified. To begin to understand that, you got to look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 3, is the Passover passages. The entry of Christ, the first Passover in Egypt. And Exodus 12, 3 says, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. And skipping a couple of verses, it says, take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lamb. That same night they are to eat the meat roasted over a fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not leave any of it till morning. If it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it: with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Verse 3 said that the lamb is to be chosen on the 10th day of the month. And verse 6 says that they should take care of it until the 14th day of the month, and then it is to be slaughtered. Now, at this point, the priesthood has not been ordained. It's not been anointed. We haven't gone into the desert yet, and God hasn't chosen Aaron to be the priest and his family. So we don't actually have a sacrifice of this lamb. What we have is the word that the scripture uses. They slaughtered the lamb, and they put his blood on the post and on the header. And when that occurred that night, the death angel would pass over that house. And unlike the other sacrifices that were done after the priesthood was established, the priest would do the sacrificing. The priest would do the blood. The priest would do everything. But this was a family meal. And before the family meal, the slaughtering of the animal occurred and the painting of the doorpost. This was a meal for the people to commemorate that night. And it was the people choosing. And that was important. You see, on the 10th day of the month, the people would go out into the fields and they would choose the animal to redeem them. 4 days later, they personally did that. They did not go to a priest. That first Passover, that moving of God in the land of Egypt on his people, was their choosing personally. And what they did was they took this lamb on the 10th day, and they didn't just bring it to their barn near their house, and they didn't just tie it up in a field near the house. They brought it, according to rabbinical writings, they brought it into the house. In fact, those same writings say they didn't just let it wander the house at night to get into all kinds of trouble or for someone to steal. They tied it to their bedpost. Now, it wasn't long ago, less than 2 years ago, Vicki and I and Heather went up to Connecticut, and we got ourselves a puppy, and we brought it back. And if anybody has had a puppy, you know that the first night is miserable. No one sleeps. And, of course, we know what it's like in those first few weeks and months to raise a puppy in our house. And you begin to wonder whether you'll ever be able to walk across your floors in bare feet again. But imagine a lamb. Why would the Jews bring a lamb into their house? Why would anybody bring a lamb? I mean, you see people on TV with all kinds of bizarre animals, you know, the person raising this miniature pony in their house. Are you kidding me? No, not for me. Why would you do that? Now, we had the dog in our room in a crate, so it would be near us and we could hear, and that the animal would be calmed by us, but what was the reason for tying this thing to the bedpost? And you know, when you begin to get into these questions, there's very few commentaries really want to address this. And why 4 days ahead of time? I mean, why did this thing have to be there, and why did they have to choose it? Now, one of the reasons to do that would be the same reason we don't wait till Easter Saturday to buy a ham at ShopRite. Okay? If you do, you're taking your chances. And you're buying essentially what other people didn't buy. And when it comes to selecting your Redeemer, and it's got to be perfect because you only have one chance. And it's got to be the right animal, and it's got to be without defect and perfect. Folks, you don't wait till the day before. In fact, they had to slaughter it on, you know, you don't wait till that day. to do it, because you may not get the perfect one. And I would suggest that if we wanted to do by extension, you do not wait until your deathbed and hope that you make the right deathbed confession. Because you may be dead already or may not understand. For people out there, they are waiting. And those who sit on the fence and say, you know, when rapture comes, well, then I'll decide. It's too late. When your breath is gone, it's too late. We have to make a decision, and we here have made a decision for Christ well in advance of our deaths, which is good. But most of the society doesn't. We decided that, like Vicky, will go shopping early this week because she's going to beat the crowd. And come Saturday, we know for sure there's going to be two cops sitting out in front of ShopRite, not one. Can you imagine in Jerusalem, millions of people trying to find a lamb for the house, waiting until the day before to go out and find this lamb? I mean, I wonder if the cops were sitting in the field of Jerusalem going, hey, we've got to control these crowds. Kind of like ShopRite here. So, I think the idea of 4 days in advance is in part to teach us, don't wait. Don't wait. And I guess if you're going to choose your Redeemer, because that animal was the Redeemer that night, right? It was the blood of the animal, therefore the animal that shed the blood was the Redeemer. And I guess if you're going to choose your Redeemer, you've got to give some thought to it. We apparently have given thought to who our Redeemer is. We apparently have given thought to the idea that we need a Redeemer. Jerusalem understood. By the time, the Israelites by this time has seen the plague of the frogs and the flies and the gnats and the blood and on and on. They saw these plagues, and at this point, they had become convinced that when God told Moses, there's a death angel coming, there's a death angel coming, and we're getting that lamb, and we're getting it early, and we're going to make sure it's the right one, because I am going to protect my family from what happens. And men, this would be a Father's Day message. Protect your family from what's going to happen. Don't let them wait. Get out there and find your Redeemer. Choosing your holiday ham is not like choosing lunch meat. And the thing about it is that they were choosing not as the nation of Israel. They were choosing as individual households. You see, all the other sacrifices were, except for your individual sins, the sacrifices were for the nation, the sins of the nation. Why wasn't there one lamb slaughtered that night? It's because each individual house had to choose the Redeemer. And so I submit to you today, do we? When Vicky chooses the ham, I've seen her do this. She takes the ham or the meat or whatever it is, and she goes, Dan eats this much. And then she goes across the rest of the people, what's left. You know, I'll eat this much. Sean will eat that much. Heather doesn't eat meat. And she'll figure out if that thing is going to be enough for us, each one of us. But in the process, she figures out what she's going to eat, her portion. She's selecting her meal as well as ours. And I would submit that when they went out to select this lamb, the heads of those households selecting that lamb said, not only will this save my wife, this has to redeem me too. Bringing that lamb into the house also did something else. You can't tie an animal to your bedpost without that animal in some way becoming personal to you. There's something about that being up all night process that makes things personal. But this was not just some animal taken from the field, but one that was taken from the field and brought into the most private place of any family home. And there's no doubt in my mind that that lamb became the pet of every animal-loving kid. 4 days of taking care of this thing, including being at the foot of our bed. And I can see the father of the house saying to the children, do not get attached to that lamb. If you get attached to that lamb, you're going to be disappointed in a few days. I remember when my uncle played a joke on my parents, and we wound up with not one but two puppies in our house one night. And my father and mother had warned my uncle, don't play this joke, and he did it anyway, and we wound up with the dogs. And I remember as a kid, that noise that I heard coming from the kitchen all night long was my new pet. And I remember that my father got up early and made sure that that was not the case. Those dogs were gone. Because my father knew that if I became attached and the rest of us became attached to that animal, he was going to be stuck with it. And I'm projecting, no commentary says that I'm projecting into the house and I'm projecting what's going on and my kids are becoming attached to this lamb and I know that I've got to slaughter it. That lamb has got to save us. That lamb is going to feed us. And my kids are attached to it. There's something highly personal when that lamb is brought into your private place. Jesus was greeted at the gates of the city 4 days before his sacrificial death. And he spent those days with his disciples, and he spent those days with the people of Jerusalem. He spent those days teaching them and becoming very intimate with some of them, even to the place of washing their feet. Very personal. Jesus had those last 4 days of his life to get personal with the people and for them to be personal with him. He spent those days in fellowship with them. He was not the stranger from outside the city. He was not the stranger from Bethlehem and Galilee. He was the man in their house in the city, personal with them. I can imagine the scene in each one of those Jewish houses in Egypt the night before Passover, when the father brought out the butcher knife and the kids are crying, not the lamb, not our lamb, not our lamb. And even the father who has to do this deed, saying to the kids, I warned you, and the kids are crying, and what father's not crying in his heart that he has to, with his own hands, slit the throat of this animal. People, our Redeemer must be personal to us. Our sins slaughtered him. Our sins put him on the cross. I imagine if the father was like me, he would have said, this is the way it must be if we are to pass from death to life. And just the thought of not only saving himself but his family would have driven the father to slaughter that animal in spite of the tears and the crying. And I wonder on the night when Jesus was arrested and he was led away and the disciples fled, and we know what Peter was doing, and he was just in that whole scene. But I wonder about the other disciples. Where were they? What were they doing? What might they have been doing? Might they have been crying out privately to God saying, Father, Father, not our lamb. Of course, they wouldn't have used that term in those days because they weren't associating Christ with the lamb yet. Father, not our lamb. God, what are you doing? This Jesus, he's our Messiah, and he's been arrested, and he's going to be led away to death. And I wonder if the Father, God the Father, said, this is the way it must be if you are to pass from death to life. This is the way it must be with your Redeemer. And for around 1,500 years, the Jews celebrated Passover, but it was only this Passover, this night in Egypt of the Passover, that the lamb was brought into the house. The lamb was never again brought into the house and kept for 4 days in a personal way. The triumphal entry was Jesus coming into the city of Jerusalem, and he never did that again. It was the only time he had done it in such a way, and it was a once and for all kind of event. There's another reason, maybe, for applying the keeping of the lamb. You see, everything had to be done in a hurry. When the night came, the animal had to be slaughtered, had to be cooked, had to be eaten in a hurry. There were preparations. They needed to be packed. They needed to have their clothes on. They needed to have their shoes on. They needed to have their staff in their hand, all of that stuff. And when Vicki was preparing, when we were going away on our trip to Southeast Asia, and we knew we were going to be away for a while, you know, Vicki begins to prepare early, and you start to see piles of clothes and piles of things. This is what we need, and a bag of these kinds of essential things begin to show in the days beforehand. Why? Because these things are critical and important to us, and we don't want to be without them when we get there. And certainly in our day and age, you can buy things everywhere around the world. But the point is, you don't want to have to buy them. And in the case of Israel, in this night, they couldn't be without the lamb. They couldn't have had it wander off. They couldn't have had it get damaged. They couldn't have done everything they needed to do and in the last few hours slaughter it, do the blood, do the sacrifice, be done, have everybody eaten in time. And so just like preparing to go away, they needed to be prepared for this event. And certainly this was something, you know, we didn't know when we were going to Asia. We didn't know what we needed. We had ideas, but we didn't know everything. So we wound up with more things than we needed, and probably some things that we should have had, we didn't. It's a warning to people. Don't wait till the last minute to prepare. Don't wait until you see the Lord come in the clouds and say, oh, I got to get ready. Don't wait until you see the world in such turmoil that there must be an end coming. Don't wait. People don't wait. People think that they can choose Christ at the last moment. You know what happens when you choose at the last moment? You forget to do the very thing you know you have to do. Why was the lamb to be chosen by every household? It's personal. It's personal. The blood of the lamb on each house was the blood of their lamb. When you go out and you choose the lamb and you have the lamb at the foot of your bed and your kids are crying and you're the one slaughtering the lamb and you're the one putting its blood on the post, that is your lamb, your Redeemer. He's personal. Our God is the same way. And Jesus entered Jerusalem that day, declared to be the king. For us, he's our lamb, our personal lamb. Exodus 12:3 says, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the entire house. And again, this was not a sacrifice in the sense that it would become later. This was a real meal. Folks, this is a real meal. This is our sustenance. And the reason we walk people through a sinner's prayer, even though I say it doesn't appear in the Bible, we've talked about that, we do that because it's got to become personal. That's what we need to do with people when they come to the altar or they're sitting at our dining room table, is say, folks, this needs to be personal. That's why you must choose. That's why when your parents baptize you as a child, it means nothing until it's personal. You choose the Lamb, and you apply His blood. And again, the things that are important to you, the things that are critical to you, the things that are for your family salvation, you probably will have near your bed at night so it can be protected. Because without the blood of that lamb on that doorpost, you got a dead child, the firstborn of every house. Our society has moved away from an understanding that there is a consequence for not having the blood applied on our door. They are like the Egyptians who went to bed that night confident in some other god to watch over them. That's a pretty significant statement. Our society is depending on any and every other god to protect them on the night of judgment. It was only the perfect blood of the perfect lamb that caused the death angel to pass over. No other Passover celebration was celebrated in this way. Just that night in Egypt and the triumphal entry. Jesus was the lamb selected that day, 4 days prior to the Passover sacrifice. He stayed close to the people and they stayed close to him. They had a chance to see him and to touch him and to consider him. And 4 days later, they rejected him. Folks, we've got to try and convince people that what is going on in our world is not a world out of control, but a world heading to judgment day. And days before we get to judgment day, we need to help people to choose their lamb. The Egyptians were not convinced by the plagues, and our society is not convinced by the disasters that come their way. And one night they will go to bed unprotected and suffer for it. Our Passover lamb must be chosen by us because there's power in his blood. Our Passover lamb must be personal to us in the sense that he saved not the community, but me and my house. Our Passover lamb must be protected by us, for there is no other sacrifice. And our Passover lamb is coming again, and we must be ready for his return. Folks, some of us, well, all of us, I know you, we've applied the blood of the Lamb to ourselves and then stopped there. I'm saved. He's coming again. Goodness gracious, it's the biggest event since the resurrection. Jesus coming again is the biggest event since the resurrection, and some of us have stopped at the resurrection. He's coming again, and we're not ready. He's coming again, and we're not ready. Exodus 12:10 says this, "Do not leave any of it till morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it." Leave nothing. The message is, leave nothing. If you've got it, eat it. If you've got it, use it. If you've got it, put it to use. What are you saving it for? I'll tell you what we're saving it for. Whatever talents, whatever skills, whatever resources we have that we're saving for something are going to be burned. Burned. If we're convinced that the blood of the Lamb has been applied to my life and therefore I am eternally saved, and we're convinced that the greatest event since his resurrection is his coming again, what are we saving it for? I'm not asking for your trust funds. Okay? He's after the money. Never been after the money. What is it in your life that you're holding on to? Because it's going to be important someday. You're going to be disappointed when you find out it's going to be burned. Better to give it away to use it than to let it burn. Let's begin to think of unsaved people as people who have not applied the Lamb, the blood of the Lamb, to their lives. But let's help them to choose that Lamb and to make it very, very personal. So why didn't Jesus enter Jerusalem 3 years prior to the event? Because in order to be connected to Exodus, to be connected to the Passover Lamb, he had to enter 4 days before he was slaughtered. And so he entered in that day. And while the people were singing, "Here comes the King after the King David," Jesus was saying, "Here comes the Lamb after the Passover." And why did he spend time teaching and being with the people? It's because he was saying that you must apply my blood that will be shed in the days ahead to the doorpost of your heart. It must be personal in order for us to go from death to life. It must be part of the family. Jesus was making the absolute connection between himself. Yes, that king, that line of David, why did he go? Yes, Passover. That's why it's the triumphal entry. The Lamb has been chosen. Our time.